From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
If you think nothing's on the to-do list in winter, fellow gardeners, that we're all meant to be dormant like the cannas in the cellar and the herbaceous perennials outside in the flower beds, well, think again. Most of us in colder zones especially may not be actively prepping or planting outdoors at the moment, of course. But even within the realm of seed-related activities alone, there's plenty wanting our attention. That's what today's guest, Ken Drews, and I realized when we got to talking seeds the other day on the phone, and one thing led to another, and even though it's not yet full-on seed starting time, we found ourselves with a list of tasks, and no, not just the task of seed shopping. More in a moment, but first, these messages.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners at wholesale prices. On the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Walcott, Vermont, offering 30 new seed varieties for 2024. Professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com.
Ken Drews is an old friend, the author of 20 gardening books, and my collaborator on our virtual Garden Club online class series. And he's currently sorting through leftover seeds and also a pile of seed catalogs over at his New Jersey home. Seedy Tasks for Winter Days is our subject today. Hi, Ken. How's it going over there?
Hi, Margaret. Did you get some snow finally?
Oh, my goodness. The first actual winter day. I guess we got about 8 or 10 inches. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And now it's 45 degrees and everything's melting.
Yeah, it hasn't warmed quite that much yet, but yes, yes, it will. And then we're supposed to have high winds and whatever. Oh. Yay! So it's... Yeah, I think there's a stretch of cold weather coming for much of the Northeast after this week, so that'll be interesting to see. So how are you doing with your seedy tasks?
I thought that there was nothing to do.
Right.
this time of year.
Right, and it's not just seedy tasks either. It's like with the weird weather that we were just speaking about for a second, you know, which has mostly been unseasonably warm till now. You know, I'm kind of worried about some of the stuff that's in storage, both in my barn and in the cellar. And do you know what I mean? The temperatures aren't right in those places. And right, I mean, typical in those places either.
Well, I'm glad that we have some snow because there's, you know, we haven't had snow for a couple of years, the measurable snow. And I always think snow, good. That's the blanket, the insulating blanket for the plants. They do so much better when they have snow.
Yeah.
So even though it's melting, I think we'll still have a few inches on the ground. So that's good. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to grow those wonderful tomatoes that I grew last year, the Juliet, right?
Yes.
That you recommended, and they were so successful. They're like giant grape tomatoes.
Yes.
Which is very small. They're or tiny plum tomatoes.
Yes.
So I went to where I thought the seeds were from last year because I had plenty left over, and I couldn't find them.
Oops.
So I looked another place and another place, and I ended up with, I don't know, 6 jars with seed packets. Then all the seed packets of things I had harvested from the garden in a box in another place. And I took a picture, which I think I sent you, and then I've still found more since then. So I have got to get this under control. I've got to label the seeds if they're not labeled, put the date on, and maybe where they came from. Definitely the date, boy.
Yeah.
Especially on my seeds.
Yeah, on the ones you've saved yourself.
And maybe the date to sow them right on the packet.
Right.
Which I can get from your calculator.
Right. I have the online seed starting calculator on awaytogarden.com. We can give a link with that to that with the transcript of the show. But yeah, I mean, it is. It's like you just want to look at the new catalogs, and there's that temptation. But it reminds me of sort of everything in life. like I want to, look at that, maybe I'll get a new sweater, you know. Well, but you know what, like, Margaret, like, look at the sweater drawer, and how's that looking? Because it's looking a bit of a mess, do you know, and I'm just making up one example, but it's pare down, tidy up, organize, make an assessment of the status of what's on hand in all of these things in our lives, and then act, right, to supplement or pare down, or, you know, again, even more, or whatever, make a decision. But yeah, I have some seeds here, there, and everywhere too, I think.
I have two sets of clothes that fit and clothes that I hope someday will fit again.
Oh, I see. Two wardrobes. Okay. So yeah, so you've been doing that, and yeah, I mean, and again, with the weather and stuff, I keep thinking, oh, I need to, like, check in the barn. I need to see how because I have all my Japanese maples out there, and I have, so it's not just where are my seed packets and what do I need and not need to order again, but it's also just kind of taking inventory of some of the resting things, right? Like,
check, you know, I went dormant things.
That's, yeah, right. Don't, because I went in the cellar and I have a lot of tubers and, you know, different things, bulbs, and I have all my cannas down there and so forth. And I thought, you know, it's not as cool as it usually is. It's just not. And I thought, well, maybe I'm going to put a little bit of, maybe a cloth over the top of some of these things, you know, keep a little moisture in, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Have you been looking at any of that stuff?
No, but I will after we talked. I keep the euchomis, the pineapple lilies, in their pots.
Yes.
And I let them go completely dry, mm-hmm, when they're dormant. But in the past, I've had things go so dry that either they've desiccated completely, which doesn't happen very often, or they get a slow start, they're small. Well, last year, some of the euchomis didn't bloom at all. And I think it's because they got too dry. So, uh-huh, I'm just going to go check. I don't want to water them like normal in the summer,
no,
you know, at all. But just a sprinkle. So they are, the medium is dry, but not desert bone dry.
Right, right.
Which happens, especially when the heat's on in the house, even though they're in a place where there isn't any supplemental heat. But it's still, usually it's 40 degrees, and this year it's 50 degrees, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's a good time to do that as well, sort of the check that inventory as well. You know, it's slightly different from checking what seeds we have on hand, but nevertheless important, because this is our stock, and, you know, those can be expensive to replace, that's for sure.
Well, we've talked about storing, I know you store your Japanese maples, deciduous, mm-hmm, things, in the complete cold, and that's mostly so the pots won't break, I imagine. Well, partially for that.
Right. It's an unheated barn. Yes, mm-hmm, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But I've got evergreens.
And I have a couple also in there.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I have a banana shrub, which is Magnolia figo, which is a broadleaf evergreen, and it does so well. Just takes a little nap, you know, and then I bring it out in the spring and it blooms and everything. It doesn't even drop the buds.
Huh.
And Elysium, do you know what Elysium is?
Yeah. I don't know what the common
Hardy anise.
Hardy anise.
It's, yeah, anise, the spice, comes from Elysium.
Huh.
And I have Elysium parviflorum, and it's called Sun Gold or something. It has yellow leaves that are attractive. And they also smell great. The leaves do. So those are a couple of things that I'm going to check on.
Right.
Oh, and
I have, yeah, sorry.
You have fig trees. Sorry. I was thinking about that too.
Right. I have the at least one big fig in there. And then there's a conifer or two. And those are tricky because those are not awake, but they have foliage, you know. So I position those near a window in the barn, so that there is some light. I mean, obviously it's not much light, but it's a little light. And those, I worry if they get a cue from, I don't know what, temperature, light, day length, who knows what, to start to wake up a little bit. You know, I worry because they have all that foliage on that they could really dry out badly.
Right.
You know, get harmed. Yeah.
And you can't let the medium in those pots dry out completely.
No, and I can't, but I can't water them either, thoroughly water them, because right. That's a problem too. So anyway, but so back to seeds, you know, really like you've sort of taken stock of everything. And are you doing germination tests, or what do you do next?
Next, I clean up where I'm going to sow them, the ones that I sow indoors, and also be mindful of the ones that are going to be sown outdoors. And some of those can get sown right away. And then, you know, we talked in the last class a little bit about winter sowing, and we're going to talk about that more.
You mean in our virtual garden club classes online? Right, 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 right.
Right.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people signed up for that.
Yeah.
And I'm doing some in the empty milk jugs. Well, they're empty until I fill them. I have one set out there already and labeled them. You know how you sow something and you think you're going to remember what it was?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Label. I never.
It's so important. Yeah. So you said you're sort of getting this spot ready, your indoor seed sowing gear, you're getting that all ready. And so are you using the same germinating mix that you've always used, or are you experimenting like so many people now?
I'm going to use the Johnny's because I have some left over from last year.
Uh-huh.
I've kept it closed. And I know it's a peat light, has other things in it too. It has a little peat in it. So I'm not going to be experimenting this year. I've done coir. I haven't tried what's the one with the paper called?
Pit
moss.
PITTMOSS, right? A brand, right? That's, I think, right, recycled, composted or whatever, newspaper maybe or something like that. And there's all kinds of different things. Organic Mechanics is another brand that has alternatives, coir and other elements in it that are not peat. So yeah, I'm going to try. I have a small bag of a couple of different things, and I'm tinkering. So that's, you know, if people want to try, we always warn don't 100% change over if you don't know what a mix is going to be like, because they have different properties, and you know, their watering and how the seeds respond to them may be different. So don't lose all your seeds by choosing a mix that doesn't suit your care regimen. So you're getting all that ready,
I'm actually sowing for the hardy annuals and
perennials. So your winter sowing some stuff,
right?
Okay.
Hardy perennials and hardy biennials.
Yeah.
Maybe some tender perennials too. I mean, things like 4 o'clocks, we treat them as annuals, but they are perennials. They're just not completely hardy. So
I'll be
trying some of those. And I know you could do things like spinach pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, I the first thing I also it will be onions and the relatives, you know, leeks and onions indoors. And that's, but not till February usually here. Mm-hmm. You know, what I found in terms of, you know, when I sort of looked around and had that epiphany, like what you were talking about, where you found seeds all over the place, and I found my little stashes here and there. And I kind of looked at the dates and saw, okay, I have plenty of this, I have plenty of that, but I'm going to need this and I'm going to need that because these are too old and whatever. you know, what I found is that there were certain things that I always wish would self-sow outside. Speaking of winter sowing, you know, because the natural version of winter sowing is things that self-sow really well, like a lot of annual poppies do, and verbena and bonariensis does, and I don't know, larkspur, I suppose. I'm thinking off the top of my head of things. My Angelica gigas does, and so forth. But sometimes they don't sow where you want them, and sometimes, or in the density where you want them, right? They have a mind of their own, of course, from year to year, and you want to kind of change that up a little bit. And I thought, you know, Margaret, there's a couple of these sort of areas where, like, I have one with the tall verbena, the Verbena bonariensis, and I really want it thickened up. I want more plants in this one area. It's between some pavement cracks and crevices. And I thought, buy a packet of seeds before you forget. This was last fall when I was, you know, kind of cleaning up the area. And I was thinking it's too sparse here. And so I kind of got, and same with Nicotiana. I was sort of thinking, okay, I had a lot this year, as I've had for, you know, 20 something years, self-sowns, but I don't have enough of the dark colors anymore. And I don't have enough of the really tall ones. I mean, some of them could get to be like 6 feet, you know, and, you know, five, certainly, and even occasionally six, but like 5 feet for sure. And I thought, you know what, it's time to repopulate this a little bit, like add a little bit of, you know, more genetics into the mix again, refresh it. And again, heavy it up in the areas where it's getting sparse, but I want more of an oomph kind of look. So I bought some Nicotianas, and I bought some Verbena bonariensis, you know. And when would you sow those? Would you sow those like before a late snow or something, like in late winter, or when would you sow those?
I'd sow the Nicotiana right now.
Okay. Okay.
And maybe not all of them, maybe do some more, you know, do them every 3 weeks or something.
Okay.
If they need a certain amount of time to flower, you might get a longer season. I mean, Nicotiana is going to be fine, as you know. You were talking about the Verbena bonariensis, a plant I cannot grow. I get like these stunted little plants. There's some kind of, it's not a disease, it's some kind of critter that attacks them.
Oh, interesting.
And ruins the leaves. And I always get like a couple of plants from last year's plants. But I was thinking, have you ever tried the new short ones?
I've seen that. I've seen this new variety that's a scaled down version, and I have never. And I thought, well, but I love how it's, well, the common name is tall verbena.
Yeah, they're wands with the flowers.
Yeah, yeah, you know, hip height or even taller. And I really love that. So, but maybe there's some use for that. I would like it or combine the two. I don't know. I haven't tried it. Maybe I should add that to my order. But yeah. I really wanted, like with the Nicotiana, I wanted some of the darker ones. Like there's like hot chocolate and chip. And there's one called Night Flight. Select Night Flight. Select Seeds has it. And that's one that can get to be like 5 feet or more. And it has dark, those all have dark flowers. You know, and so we'll see if the experiment works, right? If like where I put them, they take and they bring back the look that I had like 10 years ago when I had more of that in the population. Because when things self-sow, they express different traits, right? It's not, you know, it's not like a hybrid where it's the same thing. Every year you buy a pack of seeds and you get the exact same thing. It's not like that. So,
right. F1, you know, like the tomatoes.
Yeah.
For the first cross.
Have you ordered anything? Or are you seeking anything like the way I was seeking those two particular things?
Well, I saw a couple of things. I saw one thing this year, which I've never grown from seed, which is we used to call it periwinkle and we used to call it vinca. These common names are so worthless, but it's catharanthus or cataranthus.
Cataranthus. Yeah.
Roseus.
Huh. And so one of its common names was vinca, but it's not a vinca vine in the same way, huh? It's a lookalike kind of.
Well, it's shrubby. It's like a marigold. Like a
does the flower marigold look like a vinca? Like
I guess it does. I guess.
Uh huh.
But I saw one. Sorry.
No. Recently, what attracted you? I was going to say. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the color of grape jelly, sort of, or even blackberries. And, with a little white eye, and it was, I shouldn't say it, drop dead gorgeous. That's what it was.
Do you remember?
I saw it at my friend's garden. She had it in a pot and she used to work at a nursery. So I thought I got to track this down. And I did, I tracked it down from seed. So I'm going to try that. And last year I saw something that just knocked me out, which was Eryngium, you know, like a thistle.
Yes.
Leavenworthii, and it's an annual. So that's all I was thinking about. Oh, it's an annual and it's magenta and it's like a little thistle and it's really beautiful. And then you said to me when we were talking about it a while back, like Kansas, I thought,
right,
this is a native plant and it's an annual, because you never think about, well, California poppies, but that's not that cold. But you don't think about a plant from a cold place that's an annual. I don't think of that.
Yeah. So that's a plant that because again, the Oringium leavenworthii, the leavenworthii tipped me off that it was probably from, you know, somewhere in the middle or south of the United States. And and sure enough, it's throughout Texas and elsewhere and above, sort of above that. And yeah, and it's great. Now, you said magenta. I think of it as kind of like a shocking purplish almost. I don't know. Like, it's really vivid, whatever it is.
Vivid is a great word for it. Traffic stopping.
And I wonder if, will itself, so I want you, you grew it first time last year, did you say?
Right. So I saved seed.
Okay.
And I also bought seed. Well, that's another story. So I couldn't find the tomato seed. I couldn't find some other seed in packets. So I thought, I've got to get these again before they're sold out. So I ordered Juliet. I ordered Sun Gold Tomato. I ordered a few more things, $30. And then, of course, the next day I found them.
Of course you did. Yes. Yes. It's kind of like when I find my glasses because I was looking for them for an hour, but I was wearing them. It's not usually an hour. It's usually 5 minutes. But anyway, you get the idea.
It doesn't cost $30.
No, but it's pretty funny. It embarrasses me for at least $30 worth of embarrassment. So, yeah, the Oringiums are great. I mean, sometimes they self-sow to a fault, you know. Like, I love, I don't know if anyone's ever seen, speaking of native Oringiums, Oringium yuccifolium, the rattlesnake master.
Yeah. Wow, yes.
Big, tall, and like silvery, crazy, thistly-like heads and those sharp, that sharp foliage that's common to Oringiums also. And that's really dramatic and wonderful, more for a meadowy kind of a situation, you know, like a wilder area, I think, because again, it's going to self-sow. But yeah, I'm stalking seed of, what is it called? Tassel flower, Amelia coccinea.
Oh, that's pretty. And that self-sows sometimes too.
I didn't have any, but I grew it in a big container when I grew it a couple of years ago. And then, of course, these are things that you're not going to find at the garden center. And that's why we're mentioning be on the lookout for seed. Because if you just want, you know, regular marigolds, you know, of a common variety, and there's a lot of great ones, or, you know, orange zinnias or yellow zinnias, you're going to be able to find those. So if you don't get them or you don't have room to start them, okay, you have a backup at the garden center. But with some of these things, you don't. And that's, you know, like the annual vines, a lot of times they just don't have the selection that I want. And, you know, and the sort of more unusual ones. But the Amelia, the year I grew that, has these little, like it says, tassel flower, like fire engine, orangey red. And there's a couple of different varieties and so forth, but different shades. But this one pot of them, I mean, the pearl crescent butterflies were covering it the whole summer during the bloom time. It was amazing. And I see that Select Seed Company has it. So I'm going to definitely get a packet of that. Have you ever grown calendula? Because I used to always have calendula self-sowing in my vegetable garden for many years. And it's an edible flower as well, besides being kind of insect friendly and so forth.
Sometimes they call it pot marigold.
Yes, exactly.
Add it to soups.
Yeah.
And there's some really cool wild ones in sunset colors now, too. Used to just be, they look like marigolds, but now there's some more interesting ones. Yes, years ago I grew them, and I think I sowed them outdoors because they're cold tolerant. They're hardy annuals, I guess.
Yes, and they're easy. And the great thing is you can do a succession. So, like, you can do them really early and have sort of spring into early summer, and then, like you might a second succession of peas, you know, you could do a fall, like you're going to do fall peas, you could do fall calendulas, you could self-sow more calendulas and have a second crop. You could do that with a lot of annuals, but they're really good for that because they like that cooler season again. There's one, again, I think it's from Select Seeds, called Radio, and it's like a cactus flower. It looks like a cactus flower. What would you say? What, dahlias come in cactus flower, and some zinnias, I think.
Yeah,
that cactus shaped flower, and it's bright orange, and it's just so distinctive. And I thought, oh wow! And there's a lot of bicolored ones with sort of the backs of the petals are a different color. It's the flashback series from Frank Morton at Wild Garden Seeds, and you'll see those in other catalogs as well. I mean, there's a lot of really dramatic ones. So in the last couple of minutes, like, what about, what other things? Anything else that you're, I was looking at nigellas the other day. I haven't grown that in a million years.
I had nigella, and it was so weedy, and there were so many.
It was.
Year after year. But after about probably 10 years, gone. Never saw them again.
And that's what happened here, too. Yep, I had it for a long time, and then never again. Yep. I was thinking of nasturtiums, too, because they're just, you can just kind of direct sow them kind of after the big frost dangers. And, you know, you can start them a couple of weeks ahead of time. But there's kind of trailing ones, the more longer trailing ones. What is it? Tropiolum majus, I think, is the species. But then there's the Tropiolum minus. That are more mounding, that are kind of more petite, you know, and, you know, they're great, like edgers and
edible too.
Edible too, the edges of pots, and the colors now are astonishing. So anyway, you could just get. So in the last minute or two, you want to tell us anything else you're still on your to-do list over
I'm
there?
I'm thinking about what we've been talking about this time of year. And some seed, well, read the packets, because some seeds,
yes,
they call it stratification. They need the cold.
To germinate.
So be sure you read that, because maybe it is the time of year to sow some seeds, and it'll tell you that on the back of the packet, probably.
Or to pre-chill them by putting them in a, whatever it says, put them in a, you know, plastic bag in the refrigerator. I mean, it'll tell you some of the ways you can do it.
Usually not freeze, but often refrigerate.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. All right. So read our packets. I think Select Seeds, I think Johnny's, I think they have really good, both of those have really good instructions and tell those details like that. So I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Margaret.
And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you again soon. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy seed shopping and seed organizing meantime.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners at wholesale prices. On the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, offering 30 new seed varieties for 2024. Professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.